Back here on Sportsline on WBAL, Jim Callis, baseball prospect expert. We're looking into the Orioles coming up at 8:05. But right now we have Aaron Wilson from the Baltimore Sun with us. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I want to talk about the obvious coaching changes coming to the Ravens staff, but first, your thoughts on just the hire of Gary Kubiak.
I like the hire. I think that Gary has run so many effective offenses, and I think of what he does with the, I call it run action, and you get the play action. You sort of run to set up the pass, and I think that you can have a high first down completion percentage when you choose to throw on first down with the things he does. You have to respect the run. It's a very downhill style, and you know, hopefully they, you know, can get Ray Rice ready for a lot of carries, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to run the football first, and then that will lead to more play action and vertical stuff for Joe Flacco. And I know he uses the tight ends a lot. If you look at the numbers, 1 year, Owen Daniels and James Casey, they combined for over 100 receptions at the tight end position, I think, just 2 years ago. So yeah, I think it could work. It's just a matter of, you know, if they don't block, and if Ray Rice isn't Ray Rice, then, you know, all this talk about new stuff, it's going to be obviously rendered moot. But I think that they have a chance with Gary Kubiak to be much better.
Aaron, how do you think this came about? I know Mike Preston has written certain things. We had Jeff Zrebeck on last night to talk about it. How do you think this legitimately came about? I mean, clearly, Kubiak's the most qualified remaining candidate.
Right.
He's the most logical candidate.
Cliff Notes, my understanding is that he was someone they would have wanted to talk to early in the process. They thought he would only want a head coaching position, and I think he got the itch a little bit when he didn't get the Lions job about being a coordinator again. And this was a kind of a tailor-made situation where he was able to have, you know, Rick Dennison in here is one of his best friends. He's been with him since they were players in Denver. And I think that when you look at the process, they were checking on a reference for Kyle Shanahan. They talked to Dennison. Then Dennison tells them that, you know, Kubiak is interested. And then you start hearing about how, okay, with, you know, it came together very quickly over the weekend. But at one point, they were very close to either Hostler or Shanahan. Both guys came really close to landing the job and had impressive interviews. And these guys just have, with Kubiak, he has a much richer resume, and he's been successful many more times than some of these other candidates. He's more proven. So, you know, if you're going to try to fix your offense, you want to get the best possible guy. The only other guy they didn't ask for permission to speak to, I think he was Minnesota bound from the beginning, was North Turner. And they never made a run at Rob Chudzinski. I don't think Chudzinski is looking to coach this year. He's still being paid by the Browns. So, you know, they talked to a lot of other guys, you know, but it wasn't a matter of really anything. I don't think there's anything that nefarious about it. Just, you know, in my opinion, you know, you get the right guy. That's what matters. Who do you hire? But, you know, the process is obviously, it's interesting to people. And they came very close to not, you know, winding up with this coordinator and having, you know, a much less proven guy. I think Shanahan would have been, you know, very good. But, you know, they went in a different direction. And then, you know, he didn't want to be quarterback's coach. And now he's interviewing tomorrow in Cleveland for their offensive coordinator job.
Aaron, how many new assistant coaches will be on the offensive side of the ball for the Ravens, in your estimation from right now?
Oh, well, you know, Juan Castillo is one of the few holdovers, at least that was a full-fledged position coach. You know, I'm assuming that Todd Washington is assistant line coach, and Craig Versteeg as offensive assistant, and Jay Harbaugh, who also has a you know, assistant coaching position.
He has a family connection, right?
Yes. He's you know, Jim's son. But, yeah, I think when you look at it as far as full-fledged position coaches, where they coach a position and they're not an assistant or, you know, just kind of floating around where they're quality control, then it's just Juan. You know, I think that there could be a lot of change. Hostler is still on the staff. He's pondering his options. He's not, you know, off the staff at this time, but, you know, he's going to look around, and yeah, I think that's a fluid situation with him. Would it shock me if you have, you know, a new receivers coach? No, you already have a new tight ends coach, Perriani, coming in from Houston, and then sad to see Wade Harmon go. Good soldier, good guy, been here for 15 years. He was hired by Brian Billick on his original staff as assistant line coach, and then he became the tight ends coach. So.
Yeah, Aaron, are you surprised that Harmon's now an ex-Ravens assistant coach?
A little bit, yes, because I thought he was the kind of guy that, you know, management or Harbaugh would say, hey, you know, Wade's got to stay. But I think in order to get someone like Kubiak, he doesn't have to coach. You know, he's still being paid by the Texans, and, you know, is obviously, you know, a multimillionaire with all the money that you make as a head coach, and could sit this one out. If you want him, sometimes you have to make some compromises, and unfortunately in business, you know, sometimes that squeezes out guys, you know, just because they're not his guy. That doesn't mean that Wade's a bad coach. No, Wade's a really good coach, and, you know, I just saw Wade, you know, talked to him briefly down at Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and, yeah, it's just, it's tough because he's a guy that, you know, always very professional, very friendly, and just did his job. He wasn't looking for to ever get his name in the paper, but if you look at what he did, you know, coaching a Shannon Sharp, a Todd Heap, and a Dennis Pitta, he obviously did a good job. And, yeah, I think somebody, if they're looking for a tight ends coach, they should go hire Wade Harmon.
And, Aaron, for Jim Hostler, do you think it's his call whether or not he wants to stay, or is this going to be a Kubiak-Harbaugh decision whether Hostler wants to stay? I can understand it from his vantage point to becoming to be that close to becoming the offensive coordinator and now become a subordinate again. That's tough.
Very difficult because you have to wonder if you're Jim Hostler, okay, they ultimately didn't pick me. Okay, that's tough to take. And then, you know, to wonder if you ever have a chance to advance here because you've been here for some time and this was the opportunity and then you didn't get it. But, you know, he was someone that they considered last year when they were looking at Cam Cameron. And I heard that, you know, at that time, you know, he sort of didn't, you know, go for it as hard as he did this year. So it was something where, you know, Jim Caldwell, in some ways, they kind of had to talk Jim into it. When Hostler, you know, didn't want to do it last year. Timing is everything in life, you know. So he could very well have been the offensive coordinator a year ago. That was something that, you know, was talked about behind the scenes. So now, you know, I think for him, is for, to answer your question, does he get to make the call? I think he has a chance to retain his job. I don't think he's done anything to lose his job. But as you know, Kubiak has a lot of juice. I think it's one of those things we don't know the answer to that, you know, definitively on does he stay or does he go. I think it, you know, I've had people tell me both things, people I trust, that some guy's saying he's in, some guy's saying he's out. So obviously until you hear something more definitive, you can't really report it one way or another.
And Aaron, finally, in about a minute here, I'd love to get your take on Marshawn Lynch and his performance today at Media Day, 6 minutes, 20 seconds, threatening not to do it. And apparently, and I didn't even know this, I'm sure you did because you've been covering the league for so long and you know so many reporters who cover the league. But he didn't talk once this year as one of the premier backs in the league
right,
for any local media in Seattle.
They should have complained sooner that, you know, we've never had a situation. We've had guys not talk to us for a few weeks, and we start thinking, well, should we, you know, turn the guy in? We ultimately usually you don't want the relationship to be torpedoed because then the guy's, if he has to talk under threat of fine, he's not going to be very good anyway.
So what is the rule, Aaron? I'm sorry to interrupt
you. You have to talk. There are two guys that you can designate under the PFWA and the NFL media rules, they only have to talk once per week on your 53-man roster. But technically, if we were to request a guy and then he doesn't talk and then we put in a formal request, my understanding is under the rules that guys could get fined if they just, you know, continually not talk. The $50,000 number, that's when you don't talk for a very long time. Normally it's just like $5,000. I don't think we've ever had an instance. I've been on the beat since 2001. Where we've gotten to that point or even had to threaten it. Normally, guys, even if they're not really excited about talking to us, they talk at least after the game. They may not talk during the week, or they talk to us after a few weeks. We had weeks, remember, when Ed Reed might not talk to us and things like that. I'm not talking about guys when they're injured. I'm talking about guys are healthy.
Sure.
And there's no reason why they can't do an interview, like a concussion or something like that. So, yeah, normally these guys are cooperative. You know, but to think that you're going to get to interview every single player once or twice a week, every week of the regular season and playoffs, I don't think that's realistic. It's not going to always happen with their schedules, or just if we don't want to talk to a guy because we've already done that story or we're not interested. But that is a unique situation. I would say this, those Seattle guys, they were absolutely right to complain. Probably after a month, they probably should have complained, you know, and said, this is ridiculous. He has to talk.
Very fascinating stuff. And you're take on it. Interesting. You obviously have a lot of knowledge on the matter. Thank you, Aaron, so much. That was great.
Great talking to you.
That's Aaron Wilson from the Baltimore Sun. We'll come back with more.